talking any longer than normal. It's just that my throat's bothering me. Well, it's an interesting prayer request tonight. Part of that letter that, the other part of that email that Carl, that Ernie forwarded to me, Ernie apparently is changing his job in Chicago. Ernie's at the end of the runway at O'Hare in one of the buildings there in the megalopolis of Chicago. And he must have told his dad that he was changing his job. So his boss is giving him a hard time or something. I don't know what's going on in the company. But Carl wrote back a letter. And you might pray for Ernie too, as he job hunts, because he's got a wife and a daughter now. And said the Lord will open up a job for him if he is to leave. Carl says, "Well, I continue to pray for your job and trust that the Lord will lead and guide you. It must be frustrating for you when you know your boss doesn't like you. My boss loves me, and my job is quite secure. And the benefits are more than I could ask for. Anything I need for my work, I just ask him, and he sends it right away. If I'm tired, he lets me take a break and always sends me the refreshment that I need. I just couldn't ask for a better job or a better employer or better coworkers. If you're interested in a position in our company, I'm sure I could speak for you and help you get on board. Not too much of a hint." Thank you. "It's a service organization. But you're used to that. It takes a bit of faith to start off with and faith to end with, but the board is composed of 3 faithful partners, and they understand what it means to live and work by faith, since one of them actually started at the very bottom and worked his way up to the second in command through much sacrifice. He expects that all those who serve him do the very same. But since he has experienced everything he expects of us, he's most understanding and just runs to the cry of those of us under his orders." Well, I'd better let Pedro Sanchez use his computer now. Then he goes on from there, on, you know. But Carl's been giving a little bit of help to his young son. Maybe not so young, but his son. Pray for Ernie and Heather. Heather's down with her dad and mom right now, down by camp. And just pray for him that the Lord will lead him in terms of occupation. Okay. We've already communicated a little bit on email. Boy, that email is interesting. I know Ray, you don't like it, but I find it to be very good. Yes?
Yeah, just Jason gave a little report on his mother. She's doing well. She says, "Thank you for your prayers, and really looking forward to continue to pray for her. She's trying to get back to
work." Right. Okay, and is she moved over to Mercy now, Jason? Not yet.
Hopefully next day or two.
Next couple of days. Okay, good. Good. Okay, let's continue to remember Mrs. Silver. Well, a lot's going on this week since we met last, right? Probably many of you are burned out with the Kennedy thing, but I was thinking of at camp on the ropes course. By the way, I'm going to be going down to camp for a month, so I won't be seeing you. I won't be able to be here for Blaisdell night, or the fair probably, except for that last Sunday. But I got called up, and Ian Boyd wants me to be a ropes course director for teen camp, and I'd already promised for preteen 3 and youth camp, so that kind of fills in the slot in between, you know, so pray for me for strength on that. But one of the things on the ropes course is don't discount danger, 3 D's. Maybe that's what Kennedy should have had, was 3 D's, don't discount danger. I also thought of a message titled for vertigo or veracity. Uncle Dave, I don't know if you remember, but Uncle Dave showed us a movie a while back, or a video of a guy. It's a video of Moody Bible Institute. Maybe you've seen it also, Ted. But a video where they're talking about the inner ear and how the inner ear gives us our senses. And they have this guy in a motorized piano stool, and he's turning around very slowly. And they blindfold him, and they ask him which way he's moving. And in the beginning, he says, "Oh, I'm moving to the left," which he is. He's moving counterclockwise. And after about half a turn, why, the cilia inside the cochlea of your ear stop moving because the fluid catches up to the movement of the chair. And he says, I'm slowing down, I'm stopping. And he's still going around the same rate of speed as you can see in the camera. And then they slow down the piano stool just a little bit. And he said, "Okay, now I'm starting to move to the right. And I'm rotating faster and faster to the right." And he's still going to the left, but he doesn't know it because he's trusting his senses. He's trusting his senses. And he's putting his trust in himself. Remember on the 4th of July when I spoke, we talked about the Declaration of Independence, and yet God wants us to be dependent upon him, you know? And one title I thought of was maybe Vertigo or Veracity. And after that scene, they played a tape recording of a pilot, private pilot, much like probably my status when I was taking lessons, maybe 40 hours, 50 hours, or maybe Kennedy's of 100 hours. And this guy was flying about a three-hour flight or a two-hour flight. And before he got to the city, there was about 2,000 feet of clouds that came in between his altitude of about 5,000 feet and the airport. And they talked to him in terms of, you want to go back, you got enough fuel to go back, or you want to come in. And he only had a visual flight certification. And with visual flight certification, I had 2 hours under the hood where you're flying on instruments and the guy's putting you through the paces and stuff, but 2 hours is not much to go through clouds. And my instructor never took me through clouds, even though I flew about 15 hours with him and maybe 30 hours of solo beyond that. This guy decided to go in to try to land. He was in the clouds 15 seconds before he got in a death spiral. 15 seconds. And you can hear on the tape, they just showed the tape recording going around, you know. But you can hear on the tape this guy just screaming. You know, he has no idea where he is. He's totally disoriented, doesn't know how to. And all the way down, you can hear him. And as soon as that, on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, when I heard this thing about Kennedy, that's the first thing I thought of was vertigo. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you're gone within 20 seconds from what we saw and from what my instructor told me. So 3 Ds, don't discount danger. 2 Vs, I had vertigo and veracity, or I had 3 Vs, vertigo, veracity, or wisdom, but I figured I was stretching it. Accountability or arrogance, you know, accountability as to my skills, or arrogance, oh, I can do this. You know, it doesn't matter, I'm going to be able to do this. I know I just took the cast off my foot and I'm limping like crazy, but I should be able to push on the rudder enough to, in normal flight to take care of myself. Arrogance, you know, that's arrogance towards, in this case, your wife and your sister-in-law, as well as your own skill. And then 3 Fs. Flight plan. Didn't file a flight plan. If you're a believer, we've already filed our flight plan. You know, we know where we're going, and the Lord knows too, right? A pilot needs to file a flight plan. Follow the instructor. We need to follow our instructor. That's the second F, you know. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the Lord so you have yourself all set for your destination. Follow the flight, follow the instructor, and then have full confidence in the instruments. And what's our instrument? The Word of God, right? The Word of God. Have full confidence in the Word of God. If he'd have had full confidence, or if he knew how to use his instruments, he probably didn't even know how to use his instrument. 3 instruments, right, Charlie? Basically 3 instruments: rate of climb, the altitude, you know, and your speed. Basically just 3 instruments. And well, Linda, you know too, right? You took that. Yeah. Did you get under the hood, Linda? Did they give you any? You know, did they have put a hood on you for instrument flight at all while you were up? Not yet. Not at that point. So it's basically only 2 or 3 instruments. We have 1 instrument. And that's the scriptures. And if we could try to live life without scriptures, we're going to have a rough go of it. You know, you can get in vertigo real quickly if it's just a communication of us to him. We have to listen to the communication from him to us. But I'm not going to speak on Kennedy tonight, so let's turn to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. That was only a 6-minute diversion. Psalm 3. Ran across some notes from Stephen Olford a while back, and also some other material. And then as we were heading back from my uncle's in New Jersey Saturday, Bethel and I were listening to some Gaither music. And there was a number of things that happened on that day when we were coming home. We started off from New Jersey, and we took a path we never took before. We went up through the Delaware Water Gap, came up through the Delaware Water Gap, and Bethel was driving, and she said, uh-oh, look up ahead. And there's a string of 15 Pennsylvania State Troopers with all of them with their lights on, rescue vehicles, and a chopper, a Mercy chopper, a Mercy flight chopper, sitting in the expressway in the other lane, and a car that down in the median that had obviously tumbled over several times. All paint was scraped off of it. It was filthy. And they had apparently loaded up one party in the rescue squad and the other parties in the ambulance, and they were getting ready to take off. But So we thought about mercies of the Lord in terms of keeping us, and I prayed also for, as we drove by, I was thinking about Don Palmer when he speaks, you know, that illustration of coming over the hill and seeing a fire down in town and saying, boy, I hope that's not my house. And then realizing it was a neighbor's and having a feeling of relief, and yet should we feel that relief, you know? We hear those messages, Don, you know, when you speak. So, same thing as we go driving by, I thought, boy, you know, lucky that wasn't us, you know, and then I thought, yeah, right, there's Don Palmer's voice in the background, you know. But boy, that was a mess. You know, the traffic was backed up for about a mile and a half. A little while up the road, about a mile up there, about an hour up the road, we stopped at exit 44 and Route 17. We got on to exit 44 and 17, and got off and had something at Wendy's. And as we come back on, we get on 44, and exit 43 is right next door, right under a bridge. And there was a semi with a sports car all scrunched up under his front end. Semi was coming around the curve, and the kid just came out on the exit and didn't look. And the guy tried to pull out, and the semi plowed him around. So, you know, life is short. You know, they had Billy Graham on the other night, and they tried to catch Billy Graham yesterday morning or two mornings ago. Try to catch him. Why does God do this stuff? You know, why does God allow this stuff? And Billy Graham says, I don't know. Beautiful answer. I loved it. Shrugged his shoulders and looked her in the eye, and he says, Katie, I don't know. He says, God's omnipotent. He can do what he wants, basically. And then they played a clip of when John Kennedy Sr. died, and Billy Graham was saying, we don't know when our time comes. We need to be ready, you know. We need to be ready, whether we're believers or not believers. We need to be ready. Well, of course, if you're not a believer, you can't be ready. But we need, even as believers, we need to be ready, to realizing that our life, we don't have a guarantee on life. And he looked a little younger in that clip 30 years ago. But the message was solid, just as solid. And the rest of the trip was fairly uneventful, fortunately. But we were playing this Gaither Band song, Gaither Vocal Band. Actually, it was a Gaither song that I think Bill wrote before the vocal band was written, or was joined together. And it was one, you know, it was, I don't want to spend my time writing songs and asking questions that nobody's ever asking anyhow. Oh, writing songs that answer questions that nobody's even asking anyhow. When the house is burning to the ground, there's just no time to stand around arranging all the pictures on the wall. I want to spend my life a giving folks the living water and the bread of life they just can't live without, instead of spending all that time of writing songs that answer questions that nobody's ever asking anyhow. Don't want to spend my life a preaching sermons that give answers to the questions no one's asking anywhere. When there's so much pain and hurting, there's no time to be a-searching for the needles in the haystacks that aren't there. I want to spend my time wearing myself out for Jesus with the news of cures been found to heal our land, instead of making lists and getting creeds that aren't concerned with people's needs. I'll show them how to touch the nail-scarred hands. Don't want to spend my time with my prayers bombarding heaven with requests to rain down fire on saints who care. In our methods we may differ, but if Christ the Lord we live for, may we not forget the enemies out there. I want to spend my life on making my part of the body of the Savior work with smooth efficiency. One may be the knees and one the toes, one the chin and one the nose, but listen, brother, we have need of thee. And then it goes back to the first two stanzas. You've heard that hymn, you know. And maybe that last stanza seems kind of ecumenical, you know, but actually it's 1 John. In that we must love our brothers, you know, and sisters in the Lord. But it kind of focuses on where we are in our life. We think we've heard messages recently just in terms of how are we using our time. What's our accountability to the Lord in terms of our time? And that song kind of gets into the same thing, you know. When I talk about the When the house is burning to the ground, there's just no time to stand around arranging all the pictures on the wall. I remember distinctly waking up in the apartment over here in Martin, and my brother-in-law, Jim Stifler, waking us up and saying, there's fire, you know, and I look up and the whole wall above us was glowing from the, or in a couple patches it was glowing where the lath was burning already. And I didn't look around trying to arrange any pictures on the wall, you know, or I didn't do anything like that. We just ran out the door and downstairs, you know. And you don't do that at that time. And yet sometimes we do dwell on the wrong things, don't we? You know, it's easy sometimes to get caught up in life just getting caught up with the wrong things. And treading water, Yeah, treading water. And we need to evaluate what we're doing. So I when I got this phone call the other day from Ian Boyd, and he said, "Can you come down to camp?" Actually, it was an email. I had written him about another brother. I'd written about Craig Featherstone, who had lost his twins within a year. Lives up in Hamilton, up there in Burlington. And I asked him if he knew of anybody that was ministering to him up there. He said, "Well, actually, I'm several hours away. I'm about 4 hours away. And I don't really know very well, you know." But he said, "Well, I have you on email." He says, "I'd kind of like to know if you could come and help us at the ropes course and make it an integral part of teen camp." Well, now, I retired from teaching, you know, so I could help out in the ropes course at camp with rental groups and stuff. And so I said, "I'll get back to you." So I prayed about that and talked it over with Bethel. And very understanding wife. She didn't mind getting rid of me for an extra 2 weeks at all. So a few days later, I wrote Ian back, and we talked a lot. And I wrote Ray Blaze and some others. And so it looks like I'll be down there. And that kind of goes right along with that song, you know. And it's an easy way to serve the Lord for me. You know, I was thinking when we were in prayer tonight about the boldness that Uncle Dave has in witnessing, whether it's at the fair or whether it's at Niagara Falls especially. You know, if he takes a group of friends or a group of people that come in to the apartment, he'll take them to the falls and he'll take a stack of tracts this big, those cards that he has with a picture of the falls on one side and Bible verses on the back. And while they're going down the Cave of the Winds, he's passing out these tracts everywhere, you know. And literally, I've seen him with a stack this big. You know? And he's got a boldness I don't have. But yet, put me in front of a telescope with 20 or 30, you know, 15 or 20 kids, like at Rainbow Lake. When was that? Was that last night? Last night, yeah. Days catch up with you after a while. But last night, we were at Rainbow Lake with Ron and Jill, and we had about 10 or 15 people, you know, and some of them were, one, a couple of them were teaching teachers from up here, who I never knew before, but from in Blaisdell. And I had a chance to witness to some people, give them some passages out of Job and stuff like that. That's my bag, kind of, you know, and I hope to develop that with my ministry with telescopes. And at the ropes course as well. We have a regular program at the ropes course in terms of biblical stories that go along with each task. So you develop the task, and then you develop the story, and then you, when you finish it up, you talk to the kids about how things fit together. So I don't have that kind of boldness of Uncle Dave or Jeff, you know, but in my area, well, I am trying to serve the Lord in that area. Let's look at Psalm 3. This is a Psalm of David. And it can be divided up into a number of parts, but three parts. One of them kind of touches on trust, which we talked about it earlier in the month. But David here, it says, is fleeing from probably, this psalm was written when he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah." It's interesting, several of you, I hope you noticed the changes of speech. I know Ted did because he was an English teacher. But there's several changes of speech there in terms of present tense, past tense, as you read this psalm. And that kind of bespeaks some of David's confidence in the Lord. In the first part, he talks about his trial, the believer's trial. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there are that rise up against me." You know, Satan would oppress us, the oppression of the believer. There's many. "They are increased that trouble me." And we, have it easy, fairly easy here in the United States, unless you're really timid and you're scared stiff of people. But and you might think anything they say about you or to you is persecution. But that's nothing compared to what we've already heard of Pakistan or Afghanistan or Bangladesh, and these countries that are strong Muslim countries where they, even like that one where they burned the one missionary and his two sons in the automobile, burned them to death. But here David's saying, "Lord, how they are increased that trouble me." There's an oppression for those that follow God. Many there are that rise up against me. There's an opposition sometimes for those who rise up for God. Many there are which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. How often have we heard people in the world have their opinions about what we believe? You believe that? What do you believe that for? How can you possibly believe that God created this earth? You know, how can you believe that? They have many opinions. You know, they say we're all wet. They say we're wrong. So there's in the believer's trials, there's oppression, there's opposition, and there's opinions. I was thinking when I caught that part, too, we think of when was it Nehemiah was putting up the wall, right, in Jerusalem. They went back to the wall. They're putting up the wall. And who was it, Sanballat, that said, come on down, you know? And he tried to entice them to come down to stop building the wall. And there was opposition there. But then in the next section, verses 3 and 4, have the believer's trust. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. A shield bespeaks safety in God. You know, a person uses a shield to thwart and to deflect the enemy, the darts of the devil, the darts of the enemy, the arrows. My glory, and of course Christ is our glory. Christ was the one that, you know, has won our salvation and our safety and our redemption. And the lifter up of my head, that speaks of help, or my glory would be sufficiency. And the lifter up of my head would speak of help, or the succor, S-U-C-C-O-R, the helper, the help of Jehovah. So you have the safety in God, the shield, the sufficiency, his glory, his death, in our case for believers, his death on the cross, and also the believer's helper, or believer's help, the lifter up of mine head. In the Old English, it would be succor, S-U-C-C-O-R. Verses 5 through 8, I laid down and slept. Is that written otherwise in yours? Does it say, will both lay me down and sleep? Is that in this passage, or is that from another passage? I will both lay me down and sleep? Is that? I have the New Schofield, so I'm not sure whether that's... I think that's a different passage. But there's another passage where it says, I will both lay me down and sleep, right? Is that like this in the Old King James? Is it written that way here?
It says, I lay down
and sleep. Yeah, okay. There's another passage, I think, that said, I will both lay me down and sleep. That must be a second passage. Maybe that's... anyway, I don't have a reference for that. But I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. And you don't lay down and sleep unless you're really exhausted. You don't lay down in a situation like David was in unless he had real confidence and peace that God was going to sustain him. And that's something that each of us, no matter what our age, hopefully at night, you don't have weeks and weeks or days and days of having a hard time getting to sleep. Unless you have a health problem, or a very uncomfortable mattress. But if you have a problem with peace, if you have a problem with not being able to sleep and being worried and being nervous and being upset to the point that you can't sleep, you know, there's a problem there. You need to get some help from the Lord. You need to get some help. Maybe talk to one of the older sites here, or one of the older women or men here, who, you know, to try to kind of talk over some of the problems if needs be, and see what's going on here, because David was being persecuted by Saul, and yet he could lay himself down and sleep. I remember when we were when I was teaching at Tonawanda, and Bethel and I had the kids. I guess the kids were about 5 and 6, so it had to be late 70s, I suppose. And we had, Ray Seifel will remember this, because we had gone off the deep end and bought this Toyota Chinook camper. And right away, as soon as he had it, he said, what are you going to buy that for? You know, and he was right. But we didn't know that at the time, you know. And we did use it. I mean, we used it as registrars. We took the kids down there and we slept at camp, and we used it, I think, pretty well that way. But towards the end, after about 4 years of having this thing, and, you know, the interest comes up, interest is up on the car loan, and the insurance was higher than I figured, and because it was all fiberglass and on the back. And after about 4 years of this, I was starting to lose sleep, because I was thinking money instead of thinking Christ's sufficiency. And I had put myself in a bad spot. That was the problem, really. I had put myself in a bad spot. Thought I was doing right, but I wasn't. And I got to the point where I was losing sleep over it, and I was getting stomach aches over it. And I said to Bethel, we're going to sell this thing. And we had it up for a few months, and nothing happened. And finally, one of the kids in my AV club at school said, "Hey, Mr. Lehman, my grandfather wants that van." I said, "What's his telephone number?" And bang, I called him from my classroom, and he came over and took a look at it and made an offer, which didn't pay for the loan, but it was within a few $100. So I said, "It's yours. Here's the," you know, I went home and I got the title and got it off my back, you know. Slept a lot better in the following week. I don't know why. Yes, I do. But, you know, I was sleeping a lot better after that. And sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we shouldn't be. And the only way to get sleep at night is get out of that situation. And I don't know anybody, I don't know if any of you are in that situation or not, but, you know, I'm just talking because the Lord gave me this passage. But if it applies to you, that's not me talking to you, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you need to consider the peace of God. Yeah?
That verse is in, the
8th
verse of the
4th
chapter.
Oh, the 4th chapter? No, that's not far away. Yeah. I will both lay, yeah, Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Right, thank you, Charlie. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten, past tense, right? Past tense, thou hast smitten all mine enemies. Now, David had seen in the past God work. He didn't have any, this wasn't an untested warrior for him. This is one who had already smitten his enemies in past battles, in past trials, in past persecutions. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. So we have the peace of God. We know the power of God. And maybe some of you younger couples or younger individuals who aren't married, or even young people, well, I guess that covers everybody, that are younger, haven't tested the Lord in that way and haven't seen the Lord work in that way. But the Lord works. The Lord is powerful. The Lord can give you peace, and the Lord can win your battles if you're in His will. Now, if you're out of His will, you're fighting your own battles, you know, like I was. You know? But if you're in His will, those battles can be won by the Lord. And sometimes if we're out of His will, He lets us fight the battles a little bit for a while before He jumps in and saves our neck, you know, sometimes. But He's powerful. The power of God. And it's freedom. Let's see. Oh, my. I tried to abbreviate myself in here, and I goofed myself up. Fighting for victory, but fighting from victories in the past. Fighting with the confidence that God has given us the victory. Now, we're in the midst of a battle, but the war is won because of the Lord's victory. And then the last thing, besides the peace of God and the power of God, in verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. And he praises the Lord. Salvation belongs to him. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So those were some of the things I caught as I was looking over a few notes from both Olford and a couple other areas here. I thought that was very very fitting. Especially in terms of what we had seen in our travels and the things that the Lord's laid in our hearts. Let's remember those three things. That we have the trials. We also should have a solid trust in the Lord, as we talked about a few weeks ago. And that we can triumph in the Lord. The Lord let David, put David in some remarkable places. You know? He wound up in Ashkelon with the Philistines. And with the king of the Philistines was actually defending David to some of those in the political structure that were saying, let's not accept David down here because of, you know, he's a Jew, and yet the king of the Philistines actually stood up for David in that regards, and David just God put him in some remarkable places. And he saw victories where he never should have seen victories, probably, you know. But God just fought for David. God just, he was a man after his own heart. And even with all the sin that David got involved in, later on with Bathsheba. Still, you know, God honored David when David was in fellowship with him. We need to make sure that we're in fellowship with the Lord as we go out each week from this place and not stand in our own strength, but stand in His strength. And that's the way we can have peace and power so that we can praise Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word, and we're thankful for pictures in Your Word. In this case, a song or a poem. We heard a poem earlier tonight regarding a parallel to Psalm 23. And one that seems very effective in terms of portraying the problems of alcoholism and drugs. And here's a song that David wrote that we've been considering tonight, even while under siege and being persecuted, being chased by Saul. And yet he had the confidence in You that the battle was going to be won. And in many cases, the battle already was won. We just thank You, Father, for pictures, snapshots, Polaroids in Your Word that show us that You're active in lives of believers, active in lives of those that seek You diligently and search You, search for You to be their Lord, their Savior, their God. Help each of us here in whatever state we are, whether we're young or old or single or married or engaged, whatever state we're in, to count on You as our defender, count on You as our shield and our buckler, count on You for the victories You've already won for us and the promises You give us in Your Word. And help us, Father, to walk in Your will and to not be arranging pictures on the wall while there's fire raging around us, but to be alert as to where You've put us, and to be interested and willing and concerned about the souls around us. Help us this week, Father, and in coming weeks to be witnesses for Thee, to see souls come into Your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.